Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. And I'm commenting on the state of American politics, in particular the Republican Party and Donald Trump. Well, you know, a year from now, they'll be picking their presidential nominees, the Democratic Party and indeed the Republican Party. The GOP, as it's known, the Grand Old Party. As the Republicans. So it's highly probable that Trump will be their nominee. And then it was a few months ago saying, well, you know, will he ever stumble? Will they recognize his yesterday's man? Will they go to Ron DeSantis? The one thing is, Trump being 76 and having a BMI of 35, eating all that junk food and so on, showing, you know, signs of pre-Alzheimer's, will he be alive in a year and a half when the election takes place, the first Tuesday in November 2024? And there's obviously about 10% chance he'll die by then. Now, if he doesn't die, he could be, you know, he's owed a stroke or a heart attack. He could be seriously incapacitated. But assuming he's alive and not in terrible health, it's very likely that he will be, because Ron DeSantis has fumbled the hand dealt him. That was that catastrophic online conference thing. And he's just shown to have a really dearth of media savvy and just doesn't like meeting the press. Now, Trump has many, many horrific faults, but he is a media hoe. And he just is an attention addict. He thrives on press attention. He really believes that all publicity is good publicity. The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. He'll do anything to make a splash. So he's got name recognition. He's always in the media. Okay. And I remember people got a bit bored of him. He went quiet, fairly quiet for about a year. He's come back. Obviously, he's not got the sort of sky high viewing ratings as he had when he was sort of president. But yeah, for an ex-president, this is extraordinary. And talent other than Trump is exiguous in the Republican Party. Now, I was a day one abominator of Trump. But I'm just saying that he's good at getting media traction. He's obviously grossly dishonest. He's completely immoral. He's a loudmouth ignoramus. He's loathsome in just about every regard. And yet he's quite a credible Republican candidate. What does that say about the state of that party? So Ron DeSantis is just polling well below him and is raising far less money. There's Vivek Ramaswamy, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, who's never held any political office or even stood for one, the 37-year-old Indian-American, and he's the one who's in third place. But Trump obviously had never held any public office, had never even stood for public office. He had flirted with trying to be a vice presidential candidate about 1988 for the Republican Party, but that went nowhere fast. So obviously it's not unprecedented, certainly now, for someone to be elected president who's either never had political office or never been a military officer. Remember people like Eisenhower was elected president, never having held any political office. So, Lincoln dinner showed the way things are going. But, you know, Trump is in legal trouble on multiple fronts, facing federal charges, facing New York City charges for fraud and so on. He could be charged with things in Florida, indeed in Georgia. He's charged with over 40 things, 40 counts, could get a 40-year prison sentence, has pleaded not guilty to everything. You might know in the United States, generally speaking, if you plead guilty, there's a huge reduction in the sentence, like about a 9/10 reduction in the sentence, whereas in England and Wales, it'd be about a 1/3 reduction. And sentences are very long indeed in the United States. So the great majority of people plead guilty because the court system would simply collapse if everybody contested the trial. They all plead not guilty. There's just not enough courtrooms, not enough judges, not enough lawyers. Even a short, simple trial costs tens of thousands of dollars, even it takes just a matter of hours. So this very much incentivizes actually even innocent people to plead guilty. So if he is convicted of even one of these counts, he's facing, I think, at least several years in prison. And he said, oh, this is political interference, the usual ridiculous lie, even from Republican appointed judges. I mean, he's just lost so many cases in his life. He's been successfully sued so many times. And it is staggering his impunity. A man like him could be guilty of so many transactions of flagrant fraud, fraudulence, and get away with it with his Trump University and things like that. So for electoral interference, for incitement to the January the 6th riot, various things, documents fraud, stealing these secret documents and hiding them in Florida, attempting to obstruct the FBI's investigation, and on and on and on. In one conviction might open the seal to way more. But I think I'm correct in saying in federal courts or indeed in state courts. If even one juror out of 12 votes not guilty, the verdict is not guilty. So they require unanimity, which is why prosecutors at plea bargain down to very mild sentences in return for that. All one needs to do is sow significant doubt to the mind of his sole juror, and that will be enough to have him walk free. And there's obviously partisanship in places where Republican support is high. Well, you're almost certainly going to find one juror, but, you know, so one juror, what percentage is that? That's only about 8% of if 8% of the people in that place vote Republican, you think that, well, at least one of the jurors is a Republican, is going to vote for him. Well, it doesn't quite go that way. You could be a Republican who's anti-Trump. A Republican says, well, I was for him, but actually he is guilty and blah, blah, blah. And it's not completely partisan. You might be a Democrat who's just not convinced of his guilt. And they're obviously their independents and so on. But that's why the bar is set deliberately high. It's going to be difficult to convict him. But it's likely to be convicted of at least a few things. Because he might be wrong, might not be convicted of anything. You look at Kevin Spacey in the United Kingdom recently, the American actor who was charged with multiple sexual offences and found not guilty on all charges and has walked out a free man. But there's no constitutional impediment to someone contesting the presidency whilst incarcerated. So even if he's in a federal penitentiary or a state one, he said that he would seek the presidency. Okay, but he could pardon himself. But wait a second, to be inaugurated, he has to be released from prison to take the oath, unless these chief justices would go in to administer it in jail. I don't know if you could even do that. And would they, the president might say, we're not letting you out to do that. Well, what a constitutional pickle the United States would be at that time. And it's staggering that he'd be disbarred from all sorts of things, from having driving licenses or whatever, for the things that he might well be convicted of, but not of being president, because they never thought they'd have to meet someone with such rampant criminality. And who, if it's not Trump, who's it going to be? Mike Pence is going for it, but he's a hate figure to the Trump base. Tim Scott, well, there are a few African-Americans who's elected in the Republican Party. He's throwing his hat into the ring. Now, who would Trump pick as his vice presidential running mate? Definitely not Mike Pence. The two men have fallen out very badly indeed. Mike Pence, who said, yeah, we lost. We actually had a modicum of common decency, or also maybe long-term strategy, said that there is just no sense in us being bad losers and saying, no, we won, in flagrantly lying the rest of the time. We're going to have to fess up and take on the chin. We lost. In the long run, that's the only way for us to win. So Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, probably an ethnic minority person, Vivi Ramaswamy. Nikki Haley is also female, so that would be another advantage. And it might deflect some attention from all these accusations of sex crimes against him and of racialism, and appeal to some of the newer Americans, as in Americans from ethnic minority communities who didn't exist in significant numbers in the United States till relatively recently. But what else about Trump? But, you know, very likely the Democrats are going to win the next election. They've won the popular vote 7 times out of the last 8 for presidential elections. Moreover, they've got incumbency. Incumbent presidents win 75% of the time. The economy will be growing satisfactorily. There is small growth. Inflation is about 4%, sorry, about 6%, probably comes around down to about 4% a year and a half from now. So that's not a fantastic situation. Biden's an unimpressive president. There'll be no disasters. There's been the odd gaffe. Yes, he slips up. He's a typical grandfather. He's 80 years of age, says one thing when he means the opposite. Now, Trump's obviously even worse like that. And that's why it might make sense for the Republicans to balance age with youth. Okay, so look at the senility of Biden. But, you know, senescence is not seen as such a bad thing. They're two very elderly candidates. It's a graying country anyway. So remember, the Democrats, the last presidential election, got 51% of the vote, whereas the Republicans got 47% of the vote. And of course, it's not the popular vote. It's the vote in the Electoral College that counts, because each state is allotted, and indeed Washington, D.C., a number of electoral votes, which is equal to their congressional delegation. And Washington, D.C., the same as the minimum number that any state has. So each state gets 3 regardless of population. And because they've got incumbency, a slowly growing economy, and the demographics moving their way, the Democrats will very likely get higher than 51%, not hugely, 52, 53%. The Republicans got 47% last time, might well be with probably Trump's almost certainly going to be lower, like 46 or 45. Is Trump their only hope? I think he is, actually. Much though I loathe him, he probably stands a better chance than Ron DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis seemed an inspired choice. He's 44, young, but not too young. He's governor of the key swing state. He won his gubernatorial race for re-election by a country mile, was at 19 percentage points in a state where it's often won by a wafer-thin majority, and so on. and he's intelligent, he's been in the military, all the rest of it. He's much more presentable. He would attract the many people that Trump does without repelling them. But the one thing about is he obviously need a few independents, and Trump won a few independents last time. He'd win very few next time, if he's convicted of something. So that's why I think with Trump as their presidential candidate, it'd be significantly below 47%. There hasn't really been a landslide victory for a presidential candidate since 1988, since George Bush Sr., as a winning by 10 percentage points or more. But the Democrats could actually finally do that. I'm not saying they will do that, but I think they would win significantly. They won by 4.5 percentage points last time. But if it's Trump versus Biden next time, I think the Democrats would win significantly. I mean, a theoretical matchup puts a Biden win by 1-4%. Now, the Democrats tend to do better in presidential years than in the midterms. So we're not too far past the midterms, and the presidency is still some way off. There's a bit of midterm blues, kick the party in office. So the economy is likely to improve, which is why the Democrats would like to do a bit better than that. Whatever people say, the midterms weren't disastrous for the Republican Party. They won they lost slightly. Other thing is, Roe versus Wade is likely to favor the Democrats because their pro-abortion stance is in line with the majority of American opinion, like about 60%. The pro-life side, they're about 30% of the population, and that really matters in lots of swing states. So they'll be hammering away at that issue, the Democrats. They got a number of significant advantages. Right, so thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe and make sure you donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.